Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 65 on Faith Road. Today is Sunday, September 21st, 2008. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from North Minneapolis. Today's message was originally recorded February 17th, 1985, 23 years ago. And what's so cool about this message, when you go to the very end of the message, Pastor Paul actually states in the message that in the end, men's hearts will fail. But don't let that worry you, because we're on Faith Road. Pastor Paul talks in the message about faith and fear are at opposite ends. Faith and fear are at opposite ends. And we are on Faith Road. We just get a little bit of a glance at a time. When you put your faith in the Lord, you're not going to have fear. So regardless of what's happening in the world today, things are happening the way they're supposed to. Keep your faith in the Lord. You're going to get a lot out of this message. You can subscribe to the podcast at www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. You can also make a comment there, and there I will put links to the scriptures so that you can go to the scriptures and listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. Also, you can make a comment. We have a comment line. That number is 715-808-0318. Make a comment. If you have a testimony about how the Lord is working in your life, be sure to give us that testimony. You never know who may be listening and who your testimony may help. You can also send me an email. That is Janine, it's J-E-A-N-I-N-E, at pastorpaul.org. And I'm going to leave a link to the email in the show notes as well. You can also go to our website. That's www.pastorpaul.org. And up at the top of the homepage, you're going to see interactive links to our blog, Pastor Paul's blog, Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter, YouTube. We'll be posting more videos on YouTube. Flickr. There's hundreds of pictures at Flickr about Pastor Paul's mission. And in the future, our store, where you will be able to buy products, hopefully that are going to make your life even better. On the homepage, you're going to see direct links, widgets they're called, to Twitter, to Pastor Paul's blog. And in the future, the website will be expanded so that you will be able to listen to streaming messages. So we'll look forward to that coming up. Next Sunday, be sure to come back. Or actually, if you subscribe to the podcast, that's even better, because the podcast is sent to you or sent to your phone or your computer at work. You can listen to Pastor Paul during lunch. Wherever you subscribe is where you will get Pastor Paul's podcast. Next weekend, let's say, I'm not sure if it'll be Friday or Sunday. I'm kind of leaning towards Sunday, but once a week, Pastor Paul's podcast will be available. Next week's podcast is called On the Way Again, Away from Fear and Worry. So remember, Faith Road is the road that we're on. God bless you. Have a great week, and we'll see you back here next weekend.
On the way again, on Faith Road. On the way again, on Faith Road. And don't sit here in your old nature today. Praise the Lord. I woke up this morning, and the Lord put me in before I had time to get up in my old nature. He spoke to me before I even got out of bed, and I gave that day to the Lord. But if you come in here in your old nature, you know what's going to happen? Oh, goodness. If you're sitting here in your old nature, you know, I looked at a negative, and I thought, you know, this is a negative picture here, and you could just take and put it in this solution, whatever it is, and make a positive picture out of it. A lot of times we're just sort of smoked over, and we really don't know what's going on. We don't have the full feature of what God sees in us, and we go by what we think we are and what other people think we are, and we're supposed to go by what Jesus knows we are in the finished product. See, he has already developed that negative picture. Anyway, if you can't take 24 hours at a time and face yourself for 24 hours, then separate them into one-hour segments, 1 hour at a time. You take your breaths one breath at a time, right? Take a deep breath. A lot of times we aren't even breathing right. We're nervous and we're uptight and we feel faint. It's because we're not even breathing right. We've got to learn how to take 1 hour at a time, and let's have our attention be on this Jesus Christ first hour. Let's call it the power hour. Can you say that? Power hour. Say it. Power hour. You know, I think we ought to say that good and loud for the radio audience and tapies. Power hour. Power hour. 1 hour full of power. 1 hour full of the Lord. Leaving yourself on the outside. All of our energies loosed on Jesus. Why not? What good is it for you to sit in yourself? A power hour, power packed with God. Praise the Lord. 1 hour is all the Lord is asking for. All of our energies loosed on Jesus to praise him and to love him and to appreciate him and to lift him up and to see Jesus only. To lay down your burdens and lay down your fears and lay down your opinions and lay down your jealousies and lay down most of all your rights. There's a song like that. I have got a right to sing the blues. Remember that one we were singing a couple weeks ago? Down along the river, huh? Woo! Call upon his name, it says, in the time of trouble, and he will answer. A power hour! Sometimes people just get so mad when you minister. Put your eyes on Jesus, because I'm so busy looking at myself. Stop it. Woo-hoo-ha. How many are hearing this? Whew. Invite him in today. Say, Jesus, come on into all of my fears and burdens and opinions and my pride and my jealousy and my gossip and all that, and take it from me. And rejoice today, for he hath done great things. Isaiah 30 and 15, for thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel has said, in repentance and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be my strength. But you were not willing. Oh, it's so hard sometimes to give up. And, you know, close all the doors, because sometimes you start ministering and spirits get people up and out the door they go. But are you willing today? Say, yes, we are willing. But are you willing today? One voice. Are you willing today? Oh my God, it's so hard to minister to folks when they're not willing. And your radio audience, and to people on the tape, when they're not willing. We're ministering to a lot of people on the radio now. None the tape ministry. But are they willing? Oh, so many times we're not willing. But in quietness and confidence, you will get your strength. So number one, you have to be quiet in your mind. And then you have to be quiet in your mouth. But I think next you have to have confidence. Con means with. Fidence, fideo, means faith. So we have faith with God. And without him, the Bible says, you can do nothing. Praise the Lord. Have you learned that yet? You can do nothing without the Lord. Well, isn't there some things that we do over and over and it becomes routine so that we don't have to bother God about it? No, he's right with you. In quietness, in confidence is your strength. Not in what someone has to say or their little evil questions or their little meanderings or their little trying to, you know what I'm saying? Are you hearing this? In family situations and church situations and world situations? Be quiet and know that I am God. Just sit down and take stock of yourself. Oh, Lord. Jim today said he had a mirror and he was doing a little thing with it. It reminded me back, Jim, sometime back I took a mirror and I just had it behind my back and I went up and said, take a look at that. That person was looking so down at the mouth, I didn't believe it. I mean, her whole face was, it just looks like she was, you know, upside down. See, we have to take all the excuses away. No excuse. Well, you don't know the problems we're having right now. Still not an excuse. Without him, you can do nothing. Quietness, meaning a passiveness towards God. And confidence, meaning active towards man. So receive the word of faith and then release its power with confidence, with faith, with God. Release it. First receive it and then release it. So what kind of faith do you have today? Well, we have the with faith. Well, with what? With God. There is no other faith that you can have. You can have a faith in something natural. It'll wear down. It'll wear out. Some are teaching about faith, about Jesus, about history, about the past. And when they have no life, they start casting out demons on one another. But we teach with faith, which means with Jesus. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. One has life and one has death. And I think the people who came to the disciples' ministry with no quietness, and I've known a lot of them, thousands, and no confidence and no power, they all leave with confidence. Praise the Lord for it. They all leave with life and they all leave with power. Why is that? Because we can do nothing by ourselves, absolutely nothing. You ever try to love somebody all by yourself? It doesn't happen. My Lord, we found that out, didn't we, Jan? You got a wife that you're waiting on to love you? She doesn't love you. She loves the things for you. Unless God gives her that love, she'll be thinking, how about me? What have you done for me? Count the ways that you love me. Tell me. Oh, I said it, and I said it, and I'm glad. I said, when we had that at the sweetheart dance, I said, you know, just to get up and flippantly ask the question, what do you love about your wife? Well, that's nice. But how can you describe it? And I came up with the conclusion that loving your wife, oh, God, well, this thing, no, come on now. That love can break down in a minute. And I came to the conclusion it's something we don't know nothing about. It's something that we just experience. It's something that when we're looking at the person, we don't even know how it happens, there's an ache in our heart. There's a song called Heartaches. Have you had a heartache lately? I'm not talking about upper gas. I'm talking about a heartache. Whew. Oh, God. Are you hearing it? Because I believe people should be products of preaching, and they are. You're seeing a lot of people walking around the streets right now that are products of preaching. I want to tell you something, they are dangerous. Say amen, somebody. No gospel in it, no love in it, no dedication in it. And so I see some of the people giving up this type of preaching and the gospel preaching, and it's all over the world. There's gospel out there. There's a few preaching it. And they give up this teaching about the Lord. About the gospel. And they know all about, but they don't know Jesus. And they become happy, say just about. And they have joy, and they have peace, and power, and victory, and confidence, and quietness, and prosperity, and faith. I heard a person the other day says, you know, I reach in my pocket when the plate comes around and I give all that I have. I don't even count it. Well, I thought to myself, if you're bragging about it, then you know every nickel that's in your pocket. I used to do that. But I always knew within a dollar of what I had given. It came out of my change pocket. I used to change pockets. Not my billfold pocket, not my checkbook pocket. I think in the house of God, I think worldwide, we need to change in our giving. We need to change from digging in our change pocket to standing up. Well, I think everybody, when they give, should stand up so they can get into their pants pocket, back. That's the trouble. Stand up. Hands to the rear. Insert hand into back pocket and pull out billfold. Now let the Lord speak to you. What should I give to missions? Right now our church is giving to Cambodia. I'm just telling you where things go. And to Mao's, and they go to Africa, the north side, Jews for Jesus, different churches around the area. Why? Because the church should also give 10% of what it gets. And right now our church is giving 110% of what it gets. That's why we're in the hole a little bit all the time. But you see, you're all part of that. So when you reach in your pocket, I think some people's backbone is connected to their billfolds. Oh, the head bone connected to the neck bone, and the neck bone connected to the backbone, and the backbone connected to the billfold. Now hear the word of the Lord. Oh, them stingy, faithless bones are going to walk around. Oh, them stingy, faithless bones going to walk around. Oh, them stingy, faithless bones going to fall on down. Now hear the word of the Lord. You know what? Without faith, the Bible says, it is impossible to please God. Are you sitting on your faith? Your billfold. I think some people have staith. Instead of faith. Their money just staith in their back pockets. But you see, we're made for faith and not fear. this summer. Someone came in from the area and got into my office and stole some checks. So I got a call from Lake Street. It says, somebody's up here that bought a Dodge Plymouth. Do you know him? I says, well, if he bought a Dodge Plymouth, I wouldn't know him. That's the dumbest thing I ever heard of. That's like a Rambler Cadillac. What do you mean? Well, they got a check here for $300 and some. And he says, you want to come up here? We're gonna lock him up and send him down to jail. I says, no, I don't want to come up. Do what you got to do. The next day, a woman comes to my office. She's standing outside. She's fidgeting around. She says, Pastor Paul, I just have to come in and confess. I cashed one of those checks. I said, how many of those checks are out? Well, to date, there's about $4,000 worth of checks out. The woman had five kids, and I says, I'm going to take you down to the police department. You're going to confess everything. And on the way down, she confessed on the way down some different things. And I led her to the Lord. And I says, I am not going to do anything about this. By the way, I've heard a lot of comment on what we should have done. It's because one person got in here, gave all these women all these checks, and told them to go out and cash them. Well, why'd you have them there? Hey! What we do with our faith tells a whole lot about the person. Right after that I said that, we got a $20,000 grant. Right after that. Sure, we got right now the other part of it's coming. We got checks bouncing all over. I just issued tennis shoes with all of them. So they all got a fair chance. I don't know really where the bookkeeping is at right now. But I know where my God is at. Oh, there's so many Christians walking around with a fear of cracking up completely. Nothing goes right. My God, what's going to go wrong next? Well, if you're expecting something to come next, it'll be there. Here it comes, Mr. Next. Nothing's working out. One day is like another. There's no hope. Some people are just born to just take it all. The other ones get away and get the rich, fat cats get away with everything. They don't get away with anything. They have no quietness and they have no confidence. They blame it on their own circumstances, and what's wrong? They fear life. Instead of faith life, they live in a fear, not in faith. Their fear is rooted in themselves, their centered attitudes. Man, you could move them off to California. California, here I come. And so you say, well, how do you like California? You're not going to like it any better. Because, see, you took yourself with you. Wherever you go with you. So you can take yourself down to Hawaii, Alakahoi-ha. It'll be the sit. You have this thing around your neck and a luau and sticking your hands into this old pig. But it'll be the same you there. Wondering what people are thinking. Wondering if you're going about right. Wondering if you said the words right. And all kinds of things. You're taking you with wherever you go. And then you go traveling with a person like that. And you try to cheer this person up, and you take this person with, okay, we're going on vacation. We are going to have a good time. But I have already resolved that. We are going to have a good time. Not for the sake, but you know what? We're going to take Jesus with us. That's the ingredient. So, okay, we're going to get out of this cold weather, and we're going to go to California. And you guys are going to Florida. And we're going to go to Florida. And we're going to have a good time. But unless Jesus goes with you, you are going to have a bum time. Isn't that right? It's the truth. You got to take God with you. Confidence. Con with Fidel. Take him with. Their life is constantly falling apart because of the self-centered attitudes, and they take their self with them. And then these attitudes give birth to the fears. They lay awake nights, nursing their fears and rehearsing their fears, and then they nursed it, and they rehearsed it and sang out their confession, and then... And that blue note gave birth to the fears. Ooh. We've got to learn how to nurse faith and not fear, because the devil will put you through a horn and blow your brains out. And you'll have no quietness and you'll have no confidence for your strength. And so what we have to do here today is change the center of our lives. Change the center. And then our lives will start to add up. But with the wrong center, nothing's going to add up. Nothing's going to come out right. And so today, let's, in this power hour, let's gather up all of our goals. Let's gather up our issues today, and let's gather up our inward resolves and make them register at the ballot box. Don't resolve to do things by clenching your fists and gritting your teeth and bugging your eyes and stiffening your backbone. What a witness that is. Right? No, let's resolve the day to be quiet. Let's resolve the day to be confident. Let's resolve the day to be calm and relaxed. A relaxed registration of a life committed to certain attitudes. Glory to God. Let God do it. In Psalm 31 and 5, into thy hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast ransomed me, O Lord God of truth. I looked at that and I thought, into thy hands. And I thought, oh, when those hands fail me, then I am abandoned. I am miserable. Because when I'm in his hand, it makes me feel safe, exalted, and strong, and filled with good. And into his hands I commit my spirit and my soul and my body and my power and my desires and my all. Then I have to learn how to offer up all my all so that he may forgive me of all those things that are wrong and restore all. There's a lot of things we don't even know we're doing wrong. Isn't that right? My wounds, that he may heal them. My blindness, spiritual blindness, that he may enlighten me. My coldness, that he may inflame me. And my wretched, wicked, selfish self, that you may, God, put upon me the right way again. And all my evils into thy hand. I offer up all my cares and all of my affections and all of my successes and all of my comforts, all of my labors, and all that you know that's coming my way. There's a lot of things coming my way that I want to give up to God before they get here. And that's why it says to pray, thy will be done. There's a whole lot of things coming our way, a tidal wave. God, I give up that unseen to you before it gets here. Now that's going to bring me peace. Because I know, come whatever, God's will is in it. God, I commit my ways and my thoughts unto you. I ain't going to worry about tomorrow. I'm going to say, God, I want to give you all those things I don't even know that's coming my way. Isn't that beautiful? Did some things come your way you didn't expect or God warned you about and you didn't listen to? Whew. Oh, God, take it all. Take those things that are coming. I don't know what's going to come. You know. Doesn't that give you peace and confidence? God, I wonder what's going to happen tomorrow. And your head is going, God, I don't know what's going to come or what's going to happen, but I'm going to give it to you. It's driving me nuts. In Psalm 37 and 5, commit thy ways unto the Lord. Trust also in him. That's sort of a double there, isn't it? Commit and trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. That means roll the whole burden of your life and of your living upon the Lord. Roll it over. Not only your present fretfulness, not only your present fretfulness, merely that, no. But all your cares. In fact, really, submit your ways, the Bible says, and your thoughts. Cast all of your anxieties upon the Lord. Resign your will. Give it up. 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 Give it all up. All your cares, all your worries, all your frustrations, all of your I told you so's, and give them over to the Lord. How many are hearing this? Give them all up. Now, doesn't that give you quietness? Doesn't that give you confidence? You know why? Because God is with that. Cast all your anxieties. Resign your will. I resign. Leave the office. I'm resigning today, folks, of doing my own will. I've been in this office for 52 years. And I've done a pretty rotten job. Can you say that? Why not resign? So many people have taken office and they're God. Well, the way I see it, furthermore, and so on and so on, and I see this and that person, and they start judging everybody. And they take an office outside of the will of God. And they got to give that office up. Take off their great big old tall hat and beads and gowns and give it over. Resign the office of your will. Right on the door it says, your will. And then submit your judgment. In my judgment, the way I see it, furthermore. I mean, let's just say it this, leave all your all with the God of all. Now that'll bring you confidence. It'll bring you. And, oh, wow, I thought, what a wonderful medicine for expelling envy. How can you envy somebody when you say, God, your will be done. I want to give you what's coming tomorrow. I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, you work it out. It's for my best own interest. Go ahead. And then someone gets $1 million over here, or someone, you know, loses 14 more pounds than you did or something like that. Okay. Doesn't that wipe out envy? And we don't worry about somebody that's got more than we have. Just wipes it out, and you're quiet about it, and you have confidence. All I prayed, your will be done. I didn't expect you hating me that much. We don't even know what's going on. Say amen, somebody. We're busy glorifying God. We wouldn't have time for that kind of conversation. Trust in him, it goes on, and he shall bring it to pass. Oh, our destinies would be so joyful and so joyfully accomplished, if we confidently entrusted all to our Lord. In Proverbs 16 and 8 it says, better is a little with righteousness than great income with injustice. Oh, that's a lumpy mattress that's stuffed with the monies of injustices done to others to get it. Oh, that's a good feeling to be free of that. Whew. Praise the Lord. See, we're not inwardly fashioned for fear. We're inwardly fashioned for faith. To every man, God has given a measure of faith. God has given you a measure of faith, and you a measure of faith, and you a measure of faith, and me a measure. All of us have been given a measure of faith to each man. See, because fear really isn't our native tongue. It defeats us every time. Faith is our native tongue. And sometimes when you speak in your native tongue, you know what? You upset people. Say amen. Sometimes when you speak in your native tongue, in faith, what are you going to do now? They stole all them checks. Well, what did we do when we were $180,000 in the hole? We trusted God then. Can't we trust Him now? I think so. I know so. It's the truth, isn't it? If God has taken us out of situations before, won't He do it again? Oh, my God. Worry and fear. Upset all the time. Folks are upset all the time. Worry, 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 scurry, 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 fury, 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 worry, worry, scurry, scurry. Oh, ha, 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 ha. But then when we move in faith, in this faith and confidence, settle us down in quietness, it says, in confidence. You know, when you're around people that are into fear and anxieties, they pollute the air. They actually suck all the air out of the room because they're breathing so hard. Huh? And you feel like you're stifled in there. Oh, I can't hardly get my breath in here. Whew. You ever been in a place where they're worrying? Or they're going to close this large plant down. And I said, I told you guys 15 years ago. Huh? And doesn't that make for native air? Oh, God. Complainers usually chase people away in the end. You ever been around a complainer? You listen to them for a while. But then after a while, everybody is just, here comes a complainer. Well, see you later. Yeah, me too. I got to go. What time? Oh, my. What time is it? He ain't going no place. Isn't that right? And here you're sitting having a good time laughing, and you see the complainer comes in, and they have a certain look about them. And you know when they sit down, that face is going to change, and they're going to start complaining about something or other, or somebody or whatever. And so you just get, oh God, excuse me. Out you go. Because they suck all the air and they suck all the life out of everything. I told her, she told me, God, I don't know what's going to happen. Huh? If it doesn't change. Huh? See, we got to breathe faith air, don't we? What's happening today? Oh, everything's coming up roses today. Don't you like to see that kind of person? Let your light so shine before men I heard this happen. Yeah, but I gave it all to God before it even got there, so I can't complain about it. Yeah? That'll teach you to give it to God, he says. Oh, I know all things are going to work together for good, for God, so it'll work out, all right? Oh, there's so many worries. You read in the paper all the worriers that die ahead of their times. Oh, there's a few that die in. But mostly all these people, a lot of people die before their time because they're worriers. It's a proven fact. But our faith also, I've got to say this, has got to be linked together, confidence, fideo, with God. Or we will worry whether we have enough faith or not. Then we will try to manufacture faith, and then after we manufacture, we'll say, well, I wonder if I produced the right thing. Did you ever try to produce faith? Did you? Can't be produced. It's something that's inherent. It's something that happens as you move out one step at a time. You can't manufacture, okay, I'm going to store up faith. Plug yourself into a faith bank. Huh? No. You cannot store up enough faith for the whole next day. You can only store up enough one breath, and you breathe in and breathe out faith. You can't store it up. Oh, tomorrow I'm going to move in faith. And you read all the scriptures, and they're all good about all the heroes of God and everything, you know. But you have to do your own walk. And you can't say, well, I'd like to make up with this person and so on like that, but I'm just not sure it's going to work. Well, you got to take the first step in faith, believing it will. And commit your ways and your thoughts unto the Lord, and your ways before they even get back, just commit them, and God's ways will come at you, whatever that they may be. It's written, I'm telling you right now. Faith is written in our very makeup. It's nothing we have to manufacture. It's nothing we have to sit down and think about and study. It's something that we do by faith. You move in faith by faith. I mean, it's just actually doing the thing. Now, I've heard a lot of teachings on faith. They all come back to the same thing. Do it. And we spend years learning about faith. And if we don't do it, what good is it? And while we're studying these things, there's a whole lot of do-it people out there. My dad was a do-it man. Well, what are you going to do now? I'll do it. It's all right. I'll do it. That's like somebody argues, well, I don't want to do that. Well, never mind. I'll do it. It's easier sometimes to do it yourself and listen to I can't do it or I don't want to do it person. I'll do it. Have you ever been around those kind of people? This is better off saying, hey, let me give it to me. Just say, please, let me take care of it. You're wearing me out with your don't do it's. Please. I'm a do it, okay? I don't mix with can't do it's and won't do it. And I don't think I can do it. I'm a do it. Well, how are you going to do it? Well, I'm just going to do it in God one step at a time. And it'll turn out. Whatever happens is all right. God. How many hearing this? Oh, here we are in Matthew 9 and 29. And listen to what it says. Then he touched their eyes, saying, be it done according to your faith. It's according to your faith. And the Matthew 17 and 20 says, and he said to them, because of the littleness of your faith, for truly I say to you, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it shall be moved, and nothing shall be impossible to you. You got a mountain in your life today? Say, hey, mountain, move over. In the name of Jesus, in Mark 11 and 22 and 23 says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he is saying is going to happen, it shall be granted unto him. Wow. Matthew 6 and 30 says, but if God so arrays the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more do so for you, O men of little faith? Wow. Woo, getting kind of heavy, ain't it? Woo. See, we cannot face all of our life's emergencies without confidence and without faith. There are too many. We're not made to face those things. We're made to rely on God to help us, to give us the grace to face those things. And our bodies won't even function properly. How many are hearing this today? In Galatians 9, 2 and 20, Galatians 2 and 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me. Your life is hidden in Christ, in God. And so if you try to live a life outside that, you're in the dark for sure. How many are hearing this? Okay, let me give you another piece of scripture here. And this is 2 Timothy 6, 11 and 12. But flee from these things, you men of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance and gentleness, fight the good fight of faith, take hold of eternal life to which you were called. And you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Oh, I made the confession in front of a whole lot of people. Ooh, I have been called. I was talking to some people up the street here, and I got a lot of my message out just talking to folks, you know what I mean? And feeling the, taking the pulse and the temperature and the whatever that you hear. Now I find out that our fears and our anxieties can hinder us a lot of times from doing our very best. Now it's like you're getting ready to run the race, see? And you're thinking, boy, this guy looks like he can really run. And this guy over here. And you're busy thinking about them. The gun goes off and you're lost in your own thoughts and they're off and running. And then after they get way ahead of you, say, yeah, I knew it. Might as well walk. Isn't that wild? No, you concentrate every muscle and every thought. You ain't thinking about nothing. Oh my God, I want to win this race. Let me just give me a, just get me set. On your marks. Get set. Bam! And you're off. You're not worrying about everybody else. You're running the race. It's your faith. Are you worrying over money? So many people worried about money right now. Oh my God. We got trouble? Trouble right down here in River City. Oh, I'm just so worried. I'm worried. I don't know. Hi, Roadrunner. What's happening? Oh, I'm worrying. Well, keep running. Maybe you're worrying over your home. That's just sitting there, ain't it? I mean, why worry about it? You know what? You'll never be able to do your best when you're sitting around worrying. Isn't that right? Well, let's see now. We got to get the bus done, and we got to get the... how many seen that bus out there today? You got to get these things on there. It's great big 4x8 sheets of this... panoramic scene of the street people, and I'm kind of worried about it, you know. I mean, what if we start to paint it and it don't turn out? Well, that's a possibility, you know. Of course, another possibility is it will turn out, right? Why not go for the one instead of the other? It's going to turn out. oh, there's going to be hindrances in the way. You know, I mean, there'll be people that don't want to do it. Some will, some won't. That's true. That's true. But see, God's put it on your heart. And as you move in faith, God will bring people. Look at all the work that got done down here yesterday. How did it get done? By worrying about it? I don't know if that's going to work out. I hate those kind of things and those kind of people just talk. I don't know if it's going to turn. One time it was like 1,600 pounds, and we had a 2x10 plank and another 2x10 plank. And I said, we're going to take this thing and this radiator, and we're going to move it upstairs. And this guy said, you'll never make it. That thing weighs too much weight. He says, you're never going to make it. I says, okay, first of all, excuse yourself from the room. Isn't that the way of it? Aren't warriors nearsighted people? Just real nearsighted. Huh? Can't see anything beyond their nose. Well, still there, praise God, huh? I should say in regards to that, though, except when it comes to missions or helping people, they can see somebody way over someplace else, then they're farsighted. I think we should help people on the moon before we start getting busy down here. You know, they can see way out there. But the next door neighbor, forget it, he's a bum. They can only see the ground they bury their talents in, see? They're nearsighted. They've got their own little surroundings and their little home with a picket fence and you know, a little chair over here and a little darkened chair and knickknacks on the shelf, you know, little doilies and little, ooh. I mean, the world could be burning down. Minneapolis could be like Rome, burning down. And looks like my house is safe. Huh? And that's all we can see is their own little thing. And they become so hateful. Oh, someone might take away their things. Don't you dare! I was sitting next to a worrier. I was down at the cafe. And I thought, this guy worries so much, and he's so nearsighted. This is like a dog that buried a bone. And they end up burying themselves with a bone. And here he was sitting there. He's a shallow breather. How's he going? Hi, hi, hi. They never deep breathe. They worry, they got skinny lungs. I bet their lungs are real long and skinny. Huh? But they got real long, skinny lungs, like them long balloons. Because they don't breathe deep. They just, oh no, look at the paper. Look at the world. Look at, and then the job, what's happening? Things are falling apart. Oh God. They need to go to voice school or something and increase their lungs. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? I ran out of breath. Oh, shut up. You know what amazes me about that? I didn't even take a breath before I started. Just goes to prove I'm full of hot air, huh? I heard you. But they have these skinny lungs, you know. They're not jet people. They're like a kite. We have to wait for a little wind to lift them. Oops, it's going to get snagged in a tree. I know it, I know it, I know it. Run with it, run, run, run. Ooh, didn't put enough rags on it, huh? Why not be a jet person and fly above all those anxieties and problems? Above all the clouds of affliction, above all the clouds and the worries, above all the conditions. Well, I just called up to see what kind of condition your condition was in. Wasn't that a great song? How many of you ever heard that song? Nobody? Oh, there's a few. It's a good song. It's got, I don't know how it goes, but I know that part of it. Here we are now in Hebrews 4 and 2. For indeed we have a good news preached to us, just as they also, but the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. It isn't all the preacher's fault. Oh, there are faith teachers that teach faith, and oh, they just go through the whole thing. I mean, but their people are not doing people. Faith is, and this, and they quote all them scriptures, and they'll fall over in the floor because they're shallow breathers, and they run out of wind while they're talking about all these things and all these verses, and plop. 4 and 2 again. For indeed we have had good news preached to us, just as they also, but the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by their faith, united by faith in those who heard. In other words, sometimes people don't get a thing out of a message. You know why? And I'll tell you why they don't get a thing out of a message. Because they don't unite it with faith. They don't believe they're going to get anything out of it. They're rocked up in themselves. And they're sitting in the radio audience just sitting there and say, oh, I heard all this. But you haven't done anything with it, you see, sir. You have to do something with what you hear. And if you're going to work by faith, you have to be a doer. And what you believe in, you do. I believe in the gospel, and that's why I preach the gospel. Okay, let's wrap it up here. In Hebrews 10, verse 20, by a new and living way, here's that way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh. And since we have a great priest over of the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in the full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with the pure water. Wow. And let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. Oh. In Hebrews 13 and 6 it says, so that we may confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What shall man do to me? Ooh. And then listen to verse 7. Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. John 16 and 22. Praise the Lord. Therefore, you too now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice. No one takes your joy away from you. Isn't that a good one? That was a good one, that D. And in that day, you will ask me no question. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything, he will give it to you in my name. But until now, you have not asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be made full. What's holding you up? You got locked jaw? Ooh, lastly here. Let's don't act on any kind of fear. Determine today not to act on any fear, but wait until you can act on faith. Live out and live in Mount Pattern. Sermon on the blessed are you whens in Matthew 5. Don't make decisions in the valley. Climb to the mountain and get a better view. How many hearing this? Well, shouldn't we have faith in the valley? Yeah, you have faith to crawl the mountain. Don't make decisions while you're down. Did you know you're not fit to make a decision when you're down? In the valley of fear? Make the decisions when you're on top of things. Climb up Trial Mountain. Trial Mountain, climb up it. And then you're down here and you say, well, I just got to climb up Trial Mountain because there's a great big thing coming my way, and you just take one step at a time. Climb up the mountain and climb up the mountain. You know what you're going to find out when you get on top of the mountain? He hath done it. He kept you busy crawling up all this Trial Mountain and this great big thing that you thought you couldn't pass over. It's already done when you get to the top. You say, wow, what a view. God's already done it. Huh. He had to keep you busy. Don't you occupy your children when they get in the way? Trials keep you out of the way. So God can do things. Keep them busy over there. Anything. Just keep them busy. Ooh. Don't you keep your kids busy? Mama, 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 mama. Because why? But because why? Because why, huh? And you can't explain to them the because why, because it's a great big lengthy $19 million words in it, and they wouldn't understand them. Just start crawling up the mountain. Give me some time to think. God's up on top of that mountain. Well, okay. And he works it all out. And you get up there and you say, I made it. Now I have faith. Yeah, you gain faith by climbing over all them trials, but in the end, God does it. And God gets all the glory while you're busy crawling up all this trial mountain. Isn't that precious? Oh, God. Ooh. And then all your decisions can be made in those faith moments, not in the fear moment. Don't people make decisions and snap decisions when they're anxious? Don't they? Don't they? People have literally given away things because they made a snap decision. Tell yourself, tell your mind, I'm saying, that you will make no decisions outside of faith. And what kills faith? Gossip. You want to kill your faith? Gossip kills it. Competing kills it. Pride kills it. Strife kills it. A person that's walking around with no faith. And why do they have no faith? Because they've entered into things of non-faith. They've entered into attitudes. Oh, God, it's my job to help them be delivered. That's what I used to kill my faith every time. Every time I'd kill it by getting cantankerous. Moving along in faith, and all of a sudden I would get into this sort of yuck attitude. Well, I killed my faith, and God can't even hear you. So where are you at now? God just adds to add another, more steps for you, more trials. Okay, more there. Doesn't look, no, no, not ready yet. Way up! You're not ready to give it over in quietness and confidence yet. More steps. This is a heavy one. That's it. I want to ask you today here, the last of this, to create faith in others. Well, how do you do that? By thinking faith and talking faith and living faith and by imparting faith? Turn over all your attitudes of non-faith and fear, and then help others to do the same and say, hey, it works. Or you'll fill the air with these terrible exhausts that come out, polluting the air. Isn't there a pollution in the air of unbelief right now in the world? It's catching in the church. Isn't there a pollution? Well, I don't know. Did God make a man for a woman and a woman for a man? I don't know. I love Fred.
Well, I don't know. Mary and I have a lot in common.
Huh? Isn't that collusion? And isn't that something? Those are exhaust fumes that are getting into the church. Create faith today is what I've said. If you don't have it, there's something in your way. There's something that's cut off your windpipe, your shallow breather. Maybe it's unforgiveness. Maybe you've walked up to somebody and said, "Hey! Huh? How about me? Always get the dirty jobs." How many have said that this week? Oh, there's one. Put your hands way up. You need to go ask somebody to forgive you so that you can, you know, make it. God's waiting for you. And that's all you have to do is admit it, and that problem's over. But get ready. There's more problems coming your way. What? They're always there so that you can move in faith against those problems. Always. Negative preaching. Neggy, neggy, neggy. Aren't they there? Admit it. They're there, aren't they? You know the biggest problem I had to get over? Self Mountain. I'm still crawling up the side of that booger. Put my foot in my face every once in a while trying to... Let's don't be disease carriers of fear and confusion and doubt and gossip and unlove. Don't be that way. Let's give it all over. Let's cultivate our faith. Let's relax and let God use us as a vessel, as a channel, and God will use us for an example to pour out bigger trials on you. Try my servant Rick. Or Paul. Or Jan. And if everybody's looking to you as an example, and they're all sitting there waiting, they're all looking. They're watching you. You've made an example out of yourself. I've made an example out of myself. Quit drinking, quit the barbiturates, and quit all that, and people are watching. Aren't people dumb when they're watching? Don't they get a dumb look on their face? And I'd come into work and there'd be a group of them sitting there and the shop would get real quiet. Looks sort of like monkeys, you know what I mean? They're just watching. Huh? But they're waiting. You're an example. You know what's going to happen? God is going to add more trials to you. Angels are all watching. People are all watching. A cloud of witnesses are all watching. And the angels are up there with this circuitry up there. See, well, we've given him 10,000 volts already. Who wants to give him the next blast? I will. It's always somebody willing. 15? No, 20. You're standing there. What next? And they're all watching to see if you're going to fall down, Rick. And you make it through that, and they say, "I still don't believe it. One more blast. I'd like to see him go through this one." And you know who sends those trials? God. Do you know who sent Saul an evil spirit? God. And so you're standing there, and you've made it through, and your clothes are smoking, and there's just one little hair standing on your head, and burnt tennis shoes, and melted laces, and a little loincloth in rags, and you're standing, "Is it worth it?" And it says, "This is it. After this, it'll be all over for 2 weeks. You almost die right there. It's an execution of yourself. Death row. You're all sitting on death row. You're all waiting for the call to come to die a little bit more and get into the trial chair. Did you know what? You get a little bit stronger every time you go through. You get stronger, glory to God. You get stronger, 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 stronger in the Lord if you dare to believe. No, it's a wonderful day when you've gone through them things and they come up and they say, well, yeah, try this one. Oh, you try that one on him. Try that one on him. This one, that one, this one, that one, that one. And none of them work. And at that special time, God says, okay, turn loose the blessings. Did you know the Spirit of the Lord is in this church so heavy right now? My God. Whew. Oh, Jesus. He's here. Hallelujah. Oh, Holy Spirit. Rick, God has chosen you before the foundation of the world was even began, before it even was, to do a special work. You have been chosen, and 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 we all have been chosen, but it's ours to believe that we have been chosen. You have been chosen. What will we do with our choosing? What do we choose to do with it? Think about that. Whew. Is there anyone in here today that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior? Don't walk out of here without having the Lord. Well, I went through confirmation. I taught signs. I'm not talking about that. Have you ever accepted Jesus as your personal Savior? Are all you people born again back here in this back row? Are you born again, honey? Let's pray with you folks. Let's make sure here today. Are you with these folks here too, sir? Sir, are you with these folks? Are you with these folks? Are you with these folks today?
Yeah.
Why don't you hold hands here? Let's all pray here today and make sure. Hold this gentleman's hand here. Pray right after me and say, Dear Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Come into my heart and save me. And now, Jesus, baptize and fill me with God's Holy Spirit. Give me wisdom and knowledge. Peace, joy, and love. And Lord, a new language to praise your holy name. Praise God, I am saved. And nothing can change that. Amen. Amen. Praise God is right. Praise the Lord. Let's hear it for the Lord. Is there anyone else in here doesn't know for sure about their salvation? Honey, are you born again? You was? When were you born again? Oh, I see. Accepted Jesus in your heart? Well, it's only a one-time thing. Anyone else that doesn't know for sure, I'll pray with them. It takes 30 seconds. Are you born again, people? Born again? Are you born again? Have we missed anybody here today? Just put your hand up and say, I don't know for sure. We'll pray with you. Anybody? Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll give you the microphone there.
I just want to say something quick that nobody can take that joy of Jesus away from you. And if somebody would have told Jim and I of what we would have gone through in the last 6 years, I'd have said, no. No way I could have gotten through this. But with Jesus, we did. You know, losing our boy and just marital difficulties we went through, sickness with our daughter and the little joy of her baby that was brought into our home and now with our shop and it's experiences we're going through.
True.
And to help somebody else out. It's just been, I don't know. I guess I nobody can take that. I've still got that joy of the Lord in my heart, and it is great. It's great. The things you're going through, put that aside. You still have Christ in your life.
That's right. Yeah. And that's important. And just like she said, her ministry, their ministry is growing through the trials they go through. They can help others because there's going to be a whole lot of trials and businesses in the end. And you're going through it right now. Praise the Lord. You know, you can help other people because as men's hearts will fail in the end time. Anyone, just a couple quick testimonies and then we'll sing a song and...